Second Peter, go to Second Peter chapter 1. Our study is in Exodus 9, but Second Peter 1. This needs to be, I say this a lot, but this needs to be more than a Bible, mere Bible study. It needs to be more than merely interesting. It will be interesting. But we need for God to speak to us and our children, don't we? Through His Word. This is His Word, and we need Him to speak to us. And it's full of... I asked that our young people be up here this morning. Old and young alike need these words of warnings and promises, exhortations in these last days. Second Peter 1. Now the Exodus, or going out of the children of Israel from Egypt, and all the plagues and crossing the Red Sea, the world scoffs at that. The world today thinks that's fiction. They think it's Jewish fables. And even some so-called Christians think it's just some kind of allegory. But look at what Peter said, 2 Peter 1, verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you. Here's who we are making known or preaching, declaring. The power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He's the only one that deserves that title. Look at verse 20 and 21. Know this, that no prophecy of the Scripture, no word of God is of any private or personal interpretation. The prophecy, the word came not in old time by the will of man. Isaiah didn't just up one day and decide, I'm going to write a book. Or Ezekiel or Jeremiah. No, God said, write. John, the revelation, God said, John, write these things down. Came by the will of holy men, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. By the will of God, by the Holy Ghost. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter says in verse 3, knowing in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Where is the promise of His coming? Since the world, the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And he says they're willingly ignorant, that is, refuse to believe two things, creation and the flood. That God created all things, that by the word, verse 5, the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That God created all things. Men refuse to believe that. In spite of all the clear, the heavens declare His glory, the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. It all says God is. God created. And men don't want to believe in a creator because that means He owns us. And the potter has power over clay. Men don't want that. It's true. Verse 6, and they're willingly ignorant, refuse to believe that the world that then was overflowed with water perished. This God was angry with the world and destroyed it, all of it, and everyone in it, except 8 souls that found grace in the eyes of the Lord and put them in an ark. Oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. What a silly fable. It's just an allegory, a cute way of saying that Noah saved the animals. No, that's salvation of sinners by Jesus Christ. So, now go to Exodus 9. Exodus chapter 9. So this whole story of the Exodus, the going out of God's people. Most Bible scholars, so-called? And there's no such thing, is there? No such thing. A doctor of divinity. In other words, you're an expert, you're a master of divinity. You've got God. You've mastered the knowledge of God. Barnard used to say that DD behind their name means dumb dogs. Dumb dogs. But most Bible scholars don't believe there was any Exodus at all. You know that? They just think it's just an allegory. A made up fable. We know Noah. God's people. Ask a true Jew. Ask somebody who's been delivered. How they were brought out with a high hand. God's people. And this whole story is how God's people are being saved out of this world. You hear me? We're in it. But like Israel, we're not of it. Been chosen by God to bring us out of it. Now that's a fact. That's a fact. And if you're a true Jew inwardly, you want out. You want it out of you. You know, you're in captivity, you're in bondage, and you're in sorrow because of sin and the evil that all around us. And I want redemption. So, chapter 9, verse 13. The Lord said unto Moses, this was his chosen prophet. Were there any more? Mm-mm. Were there any more? And it says, he said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. The Lord called Moses, and Aaron was his helpmate, to go and stand before the ruler of the world, Egypt, the whole world, Israel, stand before them and say, thus saith the Lord. And God still has men that stand up with this message, that stand for the truth, that stand for God and stand before people preaching. The world scoffs at and says there's no need for this preaching anymore. Let's have share sessions. There's never been more need for preaching than now. Thus saith the Lord. And men still stand. Over in Revelation 11, you read this for yourself sometime. It's the story of the two prophets sent by God, two olive trees, which stand for the Word of God, Old and New Testament, the Law of the Prophet, the prophets of the Gospel. These two olive trees, okay, it said they stood up and preached, and the world hated them. The world hated them, and finally the world killed them, or that is, silenced them. That was the Dark Ages. That was 1,000 years on this earth when there were no Bibles. Nobody heard the word except here and there a little bit. All right, after that, it says after 3 days, they stood up on their feet. Those two seemingly dead prophets, that's the word of God, stood up in the 1st century. Well, 14th century. Through Martin Luther and men like that who started printing the Bible for everyone to read, the word again stands before men saying what? Same thing. Thus saith the Lord. We don't believe that. It's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So that's what we do. That's what the Lord, what the word of God does. Acts chapter 5, they hated Peter and John for preaching, and they told them, you cannot preach, you're not to meet, you're not to preach in the name of this Jesus and that. Don't do that anymore. And they put them in jail. Put them in jail. And they beat them. Well, the Lord came, the Spirit of the Lord came and opened the jail cell and said, go stand in the temple. There are no secret Christians all over the world. No, no. Stand in. And they found them standing in the temple. So here Moses stands. He's not cowering. He's not begging for an audience. He's commanding one. God commands. We don't ask people to accept God or, oh, won't you please come and worship God. God commandeth men everywhere to repent. So Moses stood before the people. Look at verse 14. And God said, tell them I'm going to send all my plagues. All of them. Verse 14, that you may know there's none like me in all the earth. I'm not a man, I'm God. And you're going to know. Romans 1 says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But still, the thunder rolls, doesn't it? The lightning flashes, the floods come, the hurricanes come, the hail falls, the fire consumes. Well, what do men are fools? We know God, just natural phenomena. God didn't send this, it's just natural phenomena. No, there's no sin, there's no wrath, there's no judgment. It's just natural phenomena. We know better than that. Do you know better? You know how blessed you are? Verse 18. Behold, tomorrow I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail that's never been seen before. Hail. What is hail? Well, hail is water that's turned rock hard in. Water. Now, water is a life-giving substance. Isn't it? It's life-giving. We can't live without water. Isaiah 55, go over there real quickly. This is one of my favorite. This is one of my 7,433 favorite passages of Scripture. Isaiah 55, look at this. Water is a life-giving substance. Water, the Lord sends water to soften the fallow ground, to bring forth fruit, to bring forth life. Water, what a blessing. You know what a blessing? What a creation of God. There's no life without water. And the same is true. There's no life, no spiritual life, without the water of His Word. The Word of God giveth life. Okay? That's why God wrote it. That's why God spoke it. That's why He sends preachers to preach it. To give life. Not kill, but make alive. They're already dead. What a blessing the gospel is. What a blessing it is to hear a preacher. What a blessing it is to have the Word of God. And it's meant to soften. It's meant to break the hard heart. It's meant to give life. But if you don't heed it, it's going to come down on your head like a rock. It's not going to give life. It's going to take it. You understand? This is water turned rock hard. It's going to come down on the heads of men and women and young people. Isaiah 55, look at this. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. Look how good God is. Look how gracious God is. Look how merciful God is. This is my word. I've sent a preacher with it. And there's salvation for all, anyone, whosoever will. Come, take the water of life freely. Isn't God good? Come. He said, why are you spending money for that which is not bread? He says in verse 3, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul will live. Oh, I sat and sat and sat like our young people. Sat and sat and sat. And the rain fell. God sent the rain. He said, my word is like rain. In verse 10, as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven. Verse 11, so shall my word be. And I sat under message after message after message, Thomas, with no effect. Came down on my hard head and my hard heart and my blind eyes and my deaf ear, and I didn't hear a word. And like the prodigal, I'm out of here. I want to go out in the world. No, you don't. No, you don't. We've got two cats. They're indoor cats. I know what some of you think, especially you men. Why would you have a cat? But we do. And don't make fun of them because they're our cats. You can't come into our house if you don't like them. But both those cats, they want nothing more than to get out of that house. And they're all the time escaping. And we're running after them all. Why? Because they're hire cats. What's out there? Predators. Disease. Lice. You name it. Death. Destruction. What's out there in the world? I've got to get out and see it. No, you don't. You need to see Jesus Christ. You need to see the world for what it is. The perishing place it is. You need to see the danger. No, we don't see. I didn't see the danger. I didn't see the danger. And all I saw was the world was my oyster. I about perished with it. God brought this prodigal back, sat him down under the same preacher he rejected in the beginning, and that rain came down. And life was given. And now, I don't even want to leave this place. I want to leave his house. And that's what the Lord said. Look at verse in Exodus. Go back to Exodus 9. This is what the Lord said to all the people. He says, look at verse 19. Gather your cattle and everything you have. This hail's coming down on man and beast. Everybody's outside. It's coming down on your head. Bring them home. Bring everybody and everything you have. Bring them into the house. And he that feared God's word, verse 20, among the servants, they brought their cattle into their houses, into their barn. They brought them out from under the wrath of God's going to fall. They brought them into the house of John. And everybody was in the house was saved from that hail coming down. And those that didn't, perished. Does that sound familiar? We're going to, Exodus 12 is the Passover. And the Lord kept telling them, now I've put the blood on the houses where my people are. And he said, don't leave the house. Didn't he? Whatever you do, don't leave the house. You stay in that house. This is God's house. This is the church house where the blood of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's Son, is preached. There's safety here. This is a city of refuge. This is a place where salvation is obtained. Not this building, but where the gospel is preached, able to save. Okay? Come to the house. Don't leave the house. Don't leave that. If you leave the gospel, if you go somewhere where there's no gospel, this hail might come down on your head. This is no allegory. It's no fable. It's fact. It's fact. I'd rather preach messages of just comfort and comfort and comfort. But there is no comfort except for those who are convicted. The gospel only means something to those that are troubled by the world, by sin, the world in them, and who fear God. Right? You only run to a refuge when you're afraid. Well, now look at verse 26. Verse 25 and 6, the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, man and beast. But verse 26, in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, not one hailstone fell on one head. Not one. Like in that ark of Noah, not one drop of water fell on Noah's head. Not one. There's no wrath for God's people that are in Christ. No wrath. No, not one Not one sin will be found on their record. Not one. Those that are found in Him. So, now look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh represents mankind in general. Verse 27, Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said, I've sinned this time. The hail was killing everybody and everything, destroying everything in that land of Egypt. And Pharaoh saw it clearly. And what did he do? He got religion. He got repentance. It wasn't true repentance. What was it all about? Verse 28. He said in verse 27, oh, I'm a sinner. You know, people get in trouble and they get religion. They go to church and some fella, some charlatan, some fake, some phony prophet says, you're a sinner, aren't you? Yeah, I sure am. You need saving, don't you? I sure do. Well, repeat after me. Say the sinner's prayer. You know you're a sinner. And you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Now you're saved. Sure for heaven as if you're already there. Where's repentance in that? Where's a sinner calling on God? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a sinner like David saying, have mercy on me, O God. Me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. That's not someone who's convicted by the consequences. That's not someone who's convicted by the trouble all around. When the trouble ends, so will the repentance. Look at Pharaoh, verse 28. Pharaoh said, entreat the Lord for me. Go and pray for me. Nuh-uh, Pharaoh. You pray. Oh, Ethiopian eunuch. He came to where Elijah was. And he stood outside and thought Elijah come running out there and wave his hand over and said, so glad to see you and glad you're here and we could use your money down at First Baptist Church and so forth. Oh, Mr. Eunuch, and now go home. Everything's fine. Mm-mm. He sent a servant out there, a lowly servant out there to tell him, thus saith the Lord, go down. Get in that muddy river Jordan and dip yourself. You get down and dip under that water seven, not once, not twice, seven times till you're full of mud in your ears, in your eyes, till you feel like in your flesh is no good thing. I'm just a filthy, no naked sinner in the mud. He said, you do that. I'm not going to pray for you. I can't save you. You get down. Repent. You call on the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your parents can't do it. Your spouse can't do it for you. I can't do it. I pray for you all the time. But I can't forgive one of your sins. I can't make one person in here interested in Jesus Christ. Not one. I ask God to do it. He alone, He must do it. And what He tells us to do, every one of them, call. Call on me, He said. He's so good. Call, just call. Don't have to scale Mount Sinai. Call. I can do that, can't you? If He calls me. But don't wait. You say, well, I believe that, you know, who the elect will be saved. That woman with an issue of blood, she didn't know if she's elect or not. She's crawling. Not just touch the hem of His garments. And there she did. Call. Whosoever shall call. How many seem convicted and serious in sickness and trouble and death, but as soon as the funeral is over, so is the conviction. My dad and I have both said, he preached many more funerals than I have, but I've preached quite a few now. I'd like to never preach another one. At any rate, neither one of us have ever seen one person lastingly affected by a funeral. Not one. Not one conversion. Not one. Because that's not how people are saved when they get in trouble. Esau repented because he got in trouble. Cain repented because he got in trouble. That's not repentance. Repentance is to know we're in trouble with God. I got this sin trouble in me. I have made all this trouble for myself. That's repentance. God, help me. Help me. That's repentance. Please. I can't do anything about this sin trouble. Please. May the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, put away my sin. My sin. Sin, not troubles. Sin. Well, now look at this. These locusts. Chapter 10. It said that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Now, chapter 10 is the story of these locusts. Down in, well, verse, I got to hurry. Verse 2, he says, tell your sons and your sons, son. Tell them this story. That's why I wanted our sons and daughters up here. Tell them this story. This is not an allegory. This is not a fable. This is true. God sent locusts. He actually, these were literal things that happened back then. But they represent something far more lasting, something far more terrible. Verse 4, he says, if you refuse, I'll bring locusts on the coast. And verse 5, they'll cover the face of the earth. One cannot be able to see the earth. You won't be able to see the earth. And they'll eat the residue. They'll just devour the earth. They'll consume the earth. Verse 6, your houses will be full of them. These locusts, everywhere, locusts. What do these locusts represent? Go to Isaiah 40 with me. You know what a locust is? You've seen them. It's a grasshopper. It's a grasshopper. That's what a locust is. Eats everything in its sight. Isaiah 40, turn over there. Now, there are many things that these locusts can represent. All true. Sin. Lusts, demons are everywhere, false prophets in the last days. The world's going to be full of them. Houses are going to be full of them. TV, through TV and radio and internet and all that. They're everywhere, like locusts. And they devour widows' houses and they eat up everything inside and eat up people and everyone is devoured by them and perish with them. They can represent that. Many things. But I believe, and this is certainly true, that these locusts represent mankind in general. How the world is going to be so populated, so full of people, that you won't be able to feed them. And to devour everything and everyone inside. Devour and being devoured, like locusts. Filled, the earth filled. Right before the Lord sent the flood, in Noah's day, it says the world was filled with violence. The whole earth, he said, is corrupted my way. Most Bible scholars believe there were 8 to 10 billion people on the earth during the flood. You say it can't be. Hold on. Israel was in Egypt for 400 years, right? It went from 70 people to 2 million in 400 years. Do the math. People have done the math. The earth is filled and covered with people. And look at Isaiah 40. I've got to read verse 1. comfort ye, my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, God's people. Cry unto her, the warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. You see that? This is the best news on earth. The world doesn't need this. Pardon. Hope God's people do. She received of the Lord's hands double for what? Sin. Not only pardon, but justification. Not only forgiveness, but adoption. Isn't that something? Isn't God good? He said to the voice, cry, verse 6, cry, what is it? Because all flesh is grass. The goodness thereof, the flower of the field, grass withered, the flower faded. The Spirit of the Lord is going to blow on them, blow it all away. That's flesh. That's this world. Cry, verse 9, cry, behold your God. Cry, verse 10, behold the Lord God will come. He did. His name is Jesus Christ. God walked this earth. God, our Creator. Verse 11, he'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather his lambs. Are you a lamb? Are you a sheep? Do you want to be gathered? Now look at it. It says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who meted out the heavens with a span? Verse 12. Who did all this? Verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. They're nothing. Verse 17. All nations before God are as nothing. Nothing. Worse than nothing, he said. Less than nothing. Vanity. It means useless. Completely useless to God. Is that what that said? Everybody. Now look down at verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? We're talking about Him that sits on this earth. Him in whose hands our breath is and our ways, and whose hands angels and principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, and you and me and our dogs and cats are in His hand to do with as He pleased. Read on. It says, the inhabitants thereof are as, say it, grasshoppers. Just field to play. Field to play. Look at verse 13, chapter 10 of Exodus, verse 13. Go over there, back there. Exodus 10, 13. Now, in the first century, I told you, in the first century, you know, the flood happened, when it was, but anyway, the flood happened, and the world began to be populated by three men. You believe that? You believe the world was populated by one man and his wife? You believe that? Do you really? Well, he lived 930 years. How many children could you have in 930 years? When they're having children at the same time. But Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, populated the earth, right? The first century, there were 200 million people. Most agree, around 200 million people in the first century. 1900, there were 2 billion people. In 2023, just 100 years later, 8 billion people. It's just covering the world. It's covering the world. Like grasshoppers. Now look at verse 13. Exodus 10, 13. Moses, when the Lord sent these grasshoppers, it said, Moses stretched forth his rod, that's the word of God, over the land of Egypt. And the Lord brought an east wind, on all the land that day. And there were locusts from this east wind. Do you know that 82% of the world population is in the eastern hemisphere? India, China, Asia, they can't feed them. So many people. God's word has been telling us from the beginning, but men don't pay attention. Well, verse 16. Pharaoh called for Moses and I've sinned. We're starving and everything's being destroyed. I've sinned. Verse 17, forgive me, I pray thee. Treat the Lord your God. Entreat him that he take away this death also. See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's not repentance of sin. Well, the Lord turned, verse 19, a west wind and took away the locusts. What's that mean? Well, I'm unsure. But I do know this. There have been two world wars that threatened to consume this whole planet. Two world wars. What did the Lord send? Who did the Lord send to prevent these eastern armies from consuming this world? The West. The West. This place that you live in, the Western Hemisphere. These nations, Canada and the United States, and went over there to fight these. And they hate us. France hates us. For liberating them. That's a familiar story. Oh well. But it says, turn in closing. Genesis 19. Turn in closing. So the Lord took away all the locusts. And you know, right before there was darkness over all the land, the world was filled with these locusts. And that's now, and it's become populated. There are more Bibles than ever, but less light. And darkness you can feel. That's the next thing we're going to look at. Darkness, you can feel it. That people can't even see each other for what they really are. Can't see at all. Can't see yourself. Can't see your neighbor for what you really are. Can't see the world. Darkness. And then what happened? Right after the darkness, what happened? Israel went out. See? World population. Darkness. We're out of here. Out of here. Genesis 19. What is the Lord teaching us? What is He teaching us here? A lesson on locusts? The plagues of Egypt? How interesting. He's teaching us of the sovereign, electing love and mercy and grace of God in choosing a remnant out of this world. Noah and his family, they thanked God for His sovereign electing grace. To His people, Israel, when they were in those little houses, that blood over the door, and they heard the screams of all of Egypt, they were so thankful for sovereign electing love and mercy and grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. God, they're so good. And God said, you do this forever. Forever. You, this blood, remember this blood that brought you out, that saved you, that chose you, that put a mark on you, that nobody could touch you, that not one hailstone would fall on you. The blood. What is the Lord teaching us? Stay in the house. How many times does He tell us? Stay in the house. It's safety. It's truth. Out there's lies. The refuge. Out there's trouble. Stay in the house. What's He telling us? Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. Come out from among them. You're in Egypt. Be not of Egypt. If you're of Egypt, you're going to perish with Egypt. You're in the world, not of the world. Come out now. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Look at Genesis 19, verse 14. Lot went out and spoke. And the Lord came, sent His preachers, His angels, and said, I'm going to destroy this place. How? Fire is going to fall. Hail with fire. Hail with fire. And I meant to read over in Isaiah where it says, hail, the fire, the hail will sweep away the refuge of life. And fire will destroy everything. He shall come down as a consuming fire. A refiner's fire. He'll refine His people, remove the dross, remove the sin. But on the world, wrath, fire. Well, Lot went out to speak to his sons-in-law who married his daughter, said, get out. Up, get up, get out. The Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked. Oh, come on, Dad. You really believe that? That nobody in Sodom believes that. Dad, that's old-fashioned. But were you? That's out of vogue. That's not. Nobody in Sodom believes that. Lot said, I do. And in the morning arose, verse 15, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife, take your daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Get out. Get a hold of your children. Get a hold of your children. First of all, bring them in the house. And may the Lord lay hold of them and bring them out of this world, lest they be consumed. And while he lingered, look at this. Every eye read this with me. Verse 16. While he lingered, and we do, don't we? Every one of God's people, we're in the world. Sometimes the world, it has such a pull on us, and we feel like we've fallen back into it. Here's what's going to happen. The men, the angels, laid hold on his hand, on his wife and his daughter, the Lord being merciful to him. And what did he do? He brought him forth and set him without the city. And then later he said, I can't destroy this place until I get you out. Oh, may those two be one of me. May all these back there, may these boys, these girls, oh, may the Lord lay on their hand. You do it. Parents, you do it. Talk to them day and night in your houses. I'm doing it in this house. You talk to them in your house. Tell them. Tell them, Granny. Tell them, Grandpa, Mother and Father. Tell them. I'm telling you, call. Come out. Bible study. It's life or death. Okay.